You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, November 28th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, the band all back together this morning. Because the king, Scott Angle, is here. The executive, Corey Parson, returns as well. And Tony, you and I haven't gone anywhere.
No, we're still here. We're still getting it done. And it's good the king's healthy because we were worried about an overthrow of the king.
We were. We were worried that he'd be overthrown over this Thanksgiving weekend, that on a Friday night, on Black Friday, he wouldn't be able to survive the masses. But he's back with us. Good morning, Scotty.
How you doing, fellas? Good to see you. Interesting weekend in football and did a little shopping, watched some movies. So, a little relaxed today.
Good to go. All right. Fantasy executive, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Happy holidays to everybody. Looking forward to it. Big week 12 yesterday. So, got a lot of stuff to discuss. And I am, feeling pretty decent about the way things are going right now, as far as my season-long leagues go.
You feeling good? I'm not. I was in a really good position.
Oh
yesterday.
No!
Yeah, I got crushed on Thanksgiving. You weren't here for that. I got destroyed on Thanksgiving in a league.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I was feeling amazing. Things are going my way. And then Emmanuel Sanders happened, and that wasn't so great. Fantastic Sunday night game though. That was a really fun game. I thought. Back and forth. Probably wasn't your style of game, Corey.
Oh, it's a little bit too much AFC defensive for me.
Okay.
It was very intriguing, very exciting. I guess Travis Kelce only gets involved when they're trying to play from behind.
Right.
They use him to make some big plays in that offense. But I was impressed. I played him yesterday. I didn't think he was going to do anything. Impressed with the way he came through.
Did you play him over Tyler Eifert yesterday?
I played him over Tyler Eifert, so I was very nervous because Eifert had that touchdown. And I was like, Travis Kelce was 4 for 45 going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
Then he exploded.
You know what I mean? You were upset.
I was upset, but Good day. Nice, good, solid, clean day of NFL action yesterday.
Yeah, it
so
was.
I was happy about
Corey,
that.
Corey, how about Alex Smith, though? Throws 44 times for 220 yards.
Exactly. Alex Smith, I can't deal with
Alex Smith. Also won the game last night. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Not
but,
for anybody fantasy.
Yeah, but see, for fantasy wise, Alex Smith is just never going to be that guy. But, you know, when people talk about what he does as a NFL quarterback.
Yeah, wait a minute.
He wins regular season games.
Scott. Hold on. Yeah. You're complaining about Alex Smith.
Yes.
You just went into Denver, where you would not start any quarterback in fantasy, give or take a couple, and you're complaining.
Yeah,
you're complaining
nobody anyway. Gives a shit went. Who wins the game. Do you care?
Thank you.
Wait a minute. I care who wins the game. I like regular NFL.
Did he win
yes.
a fantasy
well,
game
Greg,
for anybody?
Greg.
Yes.
Greg, that's why, Greg, you haven't been around us long enough, and that's you'll get jaded like the rest 5 years from now, you won't. Care who wins a game?
All right, Scott. See, right, the fact that Seattle lost yesterday, it doesn't matter.
Less
Seattle doesn't matter at all.
How about you buried the lead?
Well, you know what? Wins and losses don't matter. Nobody cares if that happens.
But still, my MCM, my man crush, Jameis Winston, once again getting it done, taking down one of the top teams in the league. Matter of fact, they embarrassed the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. How much they scored? 5 points?
Five points.
Yeah. They came out. Listen, it wasn't all Jameis, but they came out, set the tone. Jameis and Mike Evans, we're not going to be afraid. I love it.
Wait, hold on. Jameis Winston only threw for 220 yards, though.
He threw two touchdown passes. He led that team to victory.
Winston set the tone early.
He set the tone.
It was the Tampa Bay defense, though, that dominated because after the first two drives, they didn't score again. But the Tampa Bay's defense played a fantastic game yesterday.
Yeah, so we'll start here, Corey, because I knew you were too excited.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Jameis Winston, two touchdowns, an interception. Mike Evans, 8 for 104 and 2, the big wide receiver that you expected. Doug Martin did fumble it, but workmanlike performance, 23 carries, 87 yards. And Tampa Bay honestly just destroyed Seattle yesterday.
Yeah, they sacked Russell Wilson 6 times. They did it, and they picked him off twice. There was another fumble, et cetera. You know, late fumble forced by Jimmy Graham. Tampa Bay came to play. They're playing really, really good football right now. They knocked off Kansas City at Arrowhead and then beat Seattle.
Two really good games in a row. Russell Wilson led this team in rushing with 80 yards rushing. Yeah. Good to see Russell Wilson back running around. Underneath stuff.
It wasn't a good game for him overall.
No, it was not a good game for him at all. Russell Wilson was able to get the ball. Short routes to Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin. That was it. No, there was zero offense.
He wasn't even consistently able to hit the short routes.
What? The Tampa Bay defense has been exploited by everybody all year. What happened, Scott?
Not the last few weeks.
They played
a lot better.
Their defensive line is playing very well.
Yeah, that was a good matchup for them. Their defensive line against Seattle's offensive line.
They're weak on the back end, but we saw yesterday, obviously, they played with a little inspiration and emotion with the death of Vernon's Pop. So you see the unit probably came together stronger because of that, you know, when you look at the intangible side of it. But the defensive line, though, is a good young defensive line. Yeah. Gerald McCoy is one of the top 20.
Noah Spence played a fantastic game yesterday.
Kentucky.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, like Scott said, Jameis comes out, set the tone. I was worried about Evans going into this because I figured it'd be the matchup one-on-one with Sherman. But you know what? Jameis Winston is very similar to Russell Wilson, and I think because of their baseball backgrounds. The way Jameis can fit it into a tight space.
They're good friends, and they hang out a lot together.
I didn't know that. They do. They have their baseball.
That's
bad for Russell Wilson.
That's not very good for Russell Wilson.
and I think accuracy, Russell grows above it.
The accuracy on the deep ball also, I think it comes from playing in the outfield for Jameis Winston. I think being a baseball player has helped both good quarterbacks.
Especially when you look at that throw that Wilson made to Graham last week.
And then the one that Winston made yesterday.
The first touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, to
see, the first touchdown, Sherman wasn't on him. The second one, he was.
Yeah, and Sherman immediately looked for an offensive pass interference.
Well, he was getting physical on both sides.
Yes. Yeah, well,
Sherman's not used to getting burned.
This is Buccaneers team is not very good defensively. Oh, this is crazy, right? I don't understand
yesterday.
How Seattle. They did, or did the offense not play that well? I mean, Alex Smith lit him up for 19 fantasy points. Matt Ryan lit him for 27. David Cobb 35, and these are just in the last 4 weeks.
The defensive line dominated, though, protected the secondary yesterday.
Hey!
They dominated an offensive line that's in trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, that offensive line, we've seen it come in and out, and that was crazy. Like, that secondary is terrible in Tampa, and they couldn't take advantage of that because he was running, he was sacked, and that was a big, big problem. That Tampa secondary is truly terrible. They have a couple first-round draft picks on that defensive line, as Corey pointed out, but the backfield is terrible.
Yeah, they couldn't establish a run game either.
The defensive line, line obviously for Tampa is growing, as you mentioned, Corey. But this offensive line for Seattle, and it's somewhere, Scott, we have talked about quite often here, is something that they continually designed to neglect during the draft. They think Tom Cable can just fix whatever they give him. And it's very clear when you're starting an undrafted rookie at left tackle who's never played football in his life, that's probably not the best way to handle things.
The interesting thing, though, is the last three games they had played a lot better coming in, and they slipped backwards.
Trap game, Scott?
I don't think so. I don't think they were looking past this one necessarily. I think just you got to give credit to Tampa. They beat Kansas City in Kansas City. You know, they're playing good football right now. You know, they've won three in a row. They're just playing good football.
You're talking about the defensive lines who they did struggle against, who they succeeded against. The Bills, who you have a solid defensive line. The Patriots, who have no pass rushers whatsoever. And the Eagles, I don't really know what kind of deep passers they have.
The Eagles are stout up front.
Eagles are stout up front. Okay. So, you know, I'm worried about this offensive line if I'm Seattle. I think it's clear they have a lot of issues going forward, and we'll see what they can do Sunday night against
Carolina. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's no excuse, but their best lineman was out yesterday. If they can get Justin Britt back for next week, who's their starting center.
Sure.
They were starting a rookie sixth-round pick at center.
Right.
But, you know, again, you should have better depth than that, too.
And you're undrafted free agent left tackle. So, you know, it's tough.
He played pretty well the last three games. It's just they all slipped backwards yesterday.
Hey, Corey. So would you say that you think Scott thinks that Seattle's the best team in the NFC?
I don't think he'd believe
that
right
now. Scotty? Do you believe that Dallas is now the best team in the NFC?
Well, the record says they are.
Well, the record also says the New York Giants are better than the Seattle Seahawks.
I don't think the Giants are better.
Well, I'm just saying that's what the record says. Just saying.
He's a robot.
I might have had that one lined up.
I think he walked him into that one.
I might have had that one lined up a little bit. The Giants
didn't.
I still think
when it's said and done, I still think, you know, if they get their issues fixed, I still think they're the most balanced team on both sides of the ball.
I don't know if that's true.
In the entire league.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I look at Dallas. And what do you mean it is? They're 3 games back at Dallas right now. How could you tell me that is?
No, I'm saying when all said and done in the playoffs, I still think they can be the best team on both sides of the ball.
They can win, but I'd say right now they are not.
No, they're not. Dallas is 10-1, obviously the best team.
Thank you. That's what I was looking
for. Good. It's good for football that the Cowboys are good again.
And the Raiders, too.
It is good for the football. The Raiders are good again, too.
The Raiders had me a little scared yesterday. They look like a team that, you know what, is just doing whatever they can to win, which you could say a lot about that.
Sure.
But they let that Carolina team back in that game.
Absolutely.
Yesterday, in a word. And I got to be honest, I think the Giants are a better team than Seattle. If you talk about every aspect of the game, I mean, you look at that defensive line for the New York Giants. They put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks, the linebacking crews there. Most of the defensive backs are there. The running game is never going to be a great running game. But in Seattle, we've seen the running game disappear this year, no matter who is in the backfield. So I think the Giants actually could be a team very competitive to Seattle in the NFC.
I think what makes Seattle so tough is the experience.
Sure.
The team has been there, you know what I mean?
Sure.
They've been there.
Eli Manning has won a couple Super Bowls.
That's true, too. Yeah. So that would be interesting to see. But
it's not like Seattle couldn't run the ball because Rawls was running fine. It's just the way the game was going, they weren't getting into situations where they could run.
And Russell Wilson with the turnovers yesterday, too. Yeah, that's something that you don't normally see. But as far back, I'm sorry, jumping all over the place.
They only lost by 9 points, so why would you abandon the running game?
Yeah,
so I was wondering.
Just they were getting into so many like second and long, third and long.
So that means he wasn't running that well.
They couldn't establish a run because of sacks and penalties.
So then he wasn't running well.
No, I'm saying when he got the ball, he ran fine. It's just, you know, they were behind 14-0. You know, it's
12
like
for 38 doesn't sound very good.
What's that?
12 for 38 doesn't sound very good. I mean, you watch
the game. Rawls was not the issue.
I'm not saying he was a major issue, obviously.
His longest carry was 8 yards, and he only averaged 3 yards a carry. So I don't know.
I felt like they should have ran the ball more.
Well, that's fine. And maybe they should to protect Russell Wilson.
I felt like every time he got the ball, like, you know, there was good potential for a 5 to 7 yard game.
But he only had one 8 yard game. Let's go back to the Giants here for a second, who go into Cleveland, win 27-13. It was much closer for most of the game, and this is a 14-6 game throughout the game here. And you guys talked about how I personally think Seattle's better than the Giants, if I'm being honest with you.
Right.
And that's because for whatever reason, this offense has not been able to just put their foot on the pedal throughout the entire game. They've relied on the defense heavily. The game clinching touchdown, if you will, was Jason Pierre-Paul fumble/pick 6. And while Odell Beckham was able to get going late in the second quarter, and then again in the fourth quarter, they didn't utilize him nearly enough despite the 11 targets. Sterling Shepard not targeted yesterday, which was bizarre. This offense is not always clicking. The defense is as good as it's been in quite a few years with New York, but the offense is just not clicking. And you saw it. I mean, Eli Manning threw for 194 yards yesterday against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, that's awful.
I don't really.
Still had three touchdowns. So.
I saw a little bit of that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Saw a little bit of that game.
The guy?
Saw a little bit of that game. Right. I do think they were. I think this is a get in there, get the win, get out.
Get in,
you know what I'm saying? It's get in and get
they
out.
Play.
They didn't have to play the Christmas football yesterday. All due respect, Greg, you come for this Giants like negativity angle.
Sure.
You know, you actually was worried that they were going to lose this game. You know, that's ridiculous.
Well, it certainly wasn't ridiculous. It was a close game the entire game.
They weren't losing that game.
Like, you watched this game.
I
never thought there was a chance they could lose this game. They played down to the competition, which happens time and time again. With teams, but they were going to win the game at all times. Like, I never thought they were in doubt. I mean, the one thing you can harp on with the Giants is the lack of running game, which has always been a problem. And yesterday was a great game for Rashad Jennings. He only delivered 15 for 55 in that contest. And thank God, the Sterling Shepard thing was crazy, though. If you're a fantasy owner, I might have been pissed off about that.
I got 2.2 points out of Sterling Shepard in mine.
One end around. That was it.
Yeah, so I don't really know what that was about, but
weird.
You know, but it was. I mean, the Giants are showing better balance on offense.
But that's not true. That's not really true, though.
You don't think so?
So Odell Beckham 6 for 92, right? 2 touchdowns. Everybody else one.
But he was running the ball better yesterday.
No, they were not.
Between the two of them, they carried the ball over 20 times. You know what I'm saying?
Which is normally not. It doesn't mean they were running well.
It's normally not how you see the Giants play.
27 for 104 they had rushing, which is over 4 yards a carry, right? Right around there.
Yep.
Not bad.
No, it was okay. I thought, you know, again, just from a Giants fan perspective, I didn't like some of the calls. Like, Eli focused on Roger Lewis seemingly quite a bit, and Roger Lewis kind of sucks. You know, Sterling Shepard not being involved in the game.
How many they won in a row?
This would be six in a row.
I mean. And why do you sound like a Jet fan?
I don't sound like a Jet fan.
He does. You're all negative. I don't like.
I'm
this.
Not negative.
I
what do you mean? I didn't like certain aspects of my team. I'm not Mr. Optimism. It's like, oh, we get Justin Britt back. We're going to the Super Bowl.
We didn't win 40-0. I'm disappointed.
I would like to see a better all around performance.
A win is a win. I mean, this team won like, five in a row. Come on,
yeah, it's like the Patriots yesterday. Just get it done and get out of there. With a win. I mean, it wasn't the best performance by any stretch of imagination. What do you think of Hugh Jackson crying and being emotional after the game? I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, it was whatever to me.
You got to think this guy might feel like he's about to lose his job. Again. There's nothing he can do about it. You know what I'm saying? And I think Hugh Jackson deserves to be an NFL head coach. I really think not having Robert Griffin from the majority of the season, I think that was their game plan going in to have Griffin.
They got him back.
To have Gordon.
That's a bad game plan.
Yeah.
That's the only part. There's two things that you know, if you win zero games, it's ridiculous to think that you should be able to have a comeback and have a job. But in his defense, he lost his quarterback. He's gone through four quarterbacks. They're $40 million out of the cap, so the team don't give a shit about winning. This is the most amazing thing that I've ever seen, and a coach get put into the situation. And if he really had a thought about it, I wonder if he would take this job again.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I know the Giants. Speaking of the Giants, they're interested in talking to him.
Yeah, they wanted to
talk.
He's an AFC North guy.
He is.
So that and
he's
I
an
think
AFC guy in general.
Yeah, he's an AFC guy in general. More so the North Division. So I think that played a role in maybe the familiarity with the teams, the front offices, and stuff like that. But yeah, he's in the spot where he's probably like, I'm gonna be a coordinator again next year.
By the way, Week 14, I believe Cleveland welcomes Cincinnati. I mean, that's a game they could win. Right, like that's a game they have.
That is a game they can win.
Yeah,
and matter of fact, that's a game they have to win.
I agree.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to win.
Maybe after they win, the Browns put them on the shoulders and carry them off.
I hope so.
They'll probably drop them.
Jesus. Odell yesterday, 6 for 96 and two. He's playing at another speed. He was in and out of the game. Had a bit of a hand injury.
Came in and out twice.
Yeah, he aggravated it yesterday. I think he actually went in with a hand injury that wasn't reported, but he came back in the game, obviously performed very, very well. Terrell Pryor yesterday, 6 for 131. I mean, this guy's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
he made himself a lot of money this year.
He's getting it done. You had to be.
He can't leave Cleveland.
I agree with you. He shouldn't leave Cleveland.
Will he have one of them decisions shows?
We can only hope so. Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah, how about
90 yards total yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
So I watched this game yesterday, and you know what? This just came over me.
Yeah.
Life is unfair.
Okay.
Like, life is really unfair. Like, you could be born in New York, and your parents could be Jet fans, and then you get stuck a Jet fan, and then you have that happen to you.
You should change, like Scott, yeah?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you could be Isaiah Crowell, and I'm watching the New England Patriots. Isaiah Crowell is better than LeGarrette Blount. If you put him in that New England Patriots backfield, his whole career would be different.
You know who's not good? Duke Johnson's not good.
Oh
I watched
God.
That game, and that guy was not good.
He's going to end the season with 65, 70 receptions.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You got to think about things like that. If I didn't meet Greg, he still would have been an accountant.
I was never an accountant. I was never an accountant. Let's make that very clear. Hey, let's take a break here. When we come back, we mentioned the Raiders before. I do want to get into that Oakland-Carolina game. And also, the battle in the AFC West, Kansas City and Denver played a good one last night. And the playoff picture right now is really, really interesting. We'll talk about all that when we come back. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on Sirius. Oh, we're not on Sirius XM.
No,
we're on
not.
The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Angle. Corey Parson, Tony Scotta, with you, Greg Sussman as well. And talking about yesterday, of course, week number 12 in the National Football League. And you mentioned before, Oakland Raiders yesterday, win 35-32. But this was a game that they were up, what, 24-7 most of this game?
Yeah.
Get in the third quarter, they don't score. Carolina comes all the way back, takes a lead here in this game, 25-24. We have a very fun fourth quarter, and the Raiders walk out with the victory. Now, the good news for Oakland, right? They win. They come out with a victory. When it's all said and done, that's all that matters. They're 9-2, but they still, I believe, go to Denver in Week 17. They still have to play in Kansas City in a couple weeks in San Diego. So they have to travel all around the AFC West still. Now, they do have a game home against Buffalo next week, as well as home against the Colts in a couple weeks. So there's winnable games here for them. Yeah. But the schedule isn't – we're going to see what kind of team this
is. They're undefeated on the road anyway. They haven't lost a road game, so that I don't think they're scared to go on the road, especially.
But, however, hold on. Let me tell you who they faced on the road before you tell
me
that.
Okay, go ahead.
Week one in New Orleans. It's a winnable game, that's what I'd say.
Okay, yeah. Okay? That was a fun game.
Very fun game.
Yep.
What, go for two. That was Blackjack Del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
In Tennessee.
Tennessee's not a slouch.
That was week three before they were any good.
Okay.
In Baltimore, they're not a slouch.
Baltimore's not a slouch. That's a tough road spot.
In Jacksonville.
That's a slouch.
To be fair, though, you could do this with about any team in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
You know, you could do this because there's so much parity in the NFL. You could look at just about anybody's schedule and even if they knocked off one or two
right.
good teams, you could say, well, who else did they face? What it comes down to is if you're a winning team, you win games.
Yeah, it's a good point. And the Raiders have found ways to win kind of everywhere here.
Look at yesterday. I mean, they totally blew the lead, and they still won the game.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Speaking of the Raiders right quick, fellas, I got a question I'll pose to all three of y'all. And I hate these rest of the season questions. But who would you rather have the rest of the season, Seth Roberts or Tyler Gabriel?
Okay, wait a minute. His name's Taylor Gabriel.
Taylor Gabriel, excuse me.
Hold on, what did I write down here?
Nobody corrects you like your friends.
Yeah.
I'm going to correct him. He gets the name wrong.
Yeah.
So I wrote down here Seth Roberts or Ted Ginn, but Taylor Gabriel also works.
Yeah.
I think they're all very similar. I think at this point in the season, you don't want to start any of them, right? Like we have one more bye week this week, but we don't really have bye weeks. You're probably not starting.
You could have called Seth Roberts yesterday.
You could have. Oh, absolutely.
Seth Roberts yesterday.
There were people that had Gabriel.
Gabriel in the lineup.
That played Gabriel, in DFS and season long. It was crazy to me. And people had him in their lineup. I couldn't believe it.
I would say Gabriel's had four straight double-figure games with three touchdowns four touchdowns in those four games. Only one game did he not score a touchdown. He still got 5 for 52. Here's the thing about Gabriel. It's like, you know, he's becoming what we wanted John Brown to be this year.
Okay. No.
I don't know about that.
If you really believe in Gabriel, we got to cut out all the talk about snap counts and plays.
Yeah.
None of that shit matters. He's just getting on the field. He's making things happen.
Well, it's funny.
We wanted John Brown to do that.
No, I don't think he's John Brown. We expected much more consistent than John Brown.
This is what I wanted John Brown to be, not that what John Brown is.
Disagree. Again, I think you expected a lot more consistency from John Brown than what Taylor Gabriel is giving you.
This guy's turning to like Devin Hester.
Yeah.
Sure.
That type of player.
Sure.
Very difficult to roster this type of player.
The guy wasn't relevant till week 8 and each of the last four games. He's had double figures, so it's not like he's been.
But it's so touchdown. It's so touchdown dependent, this guy.
Yeah,
like,
he's
scoring touchdowns. You know,
he's what Allen Hurns.
He's not going to be seven.
He's not Allen Hurns either. Come on.
No,
he's not Allen Hurns.
He's not Allen Hurns
because he's not catching as many passes as Allen Hurns did last year.
Yeah, Allen Hurns. Yeah. Allen Hurns is in there. Allen Hurns is a part of the offense. Taylor Gabriel is
not Devery Henderson either.
That's what I'm saying. But he's like Devery Henderson.
He's more of a Devery Henderson.
Devery Henderson would disappear for 6 weeks at a time.
So hold on.
This guy disappeared for 8 weeks at a time.
But he's been good for the last.
This guy didn't make the Cleveland Browns.
Hold on. He wasn't relevant for the first 7 weeks of the season, but each of the last four weeks he has been relevant.
So
absolutely.
What's changed?
Yeah.
So that's
and
not like Devery Henderson.
Why isn't it Devery Henderson would get hot for 3 or 4 weeks? This guy will be.
I don't think you'll ever hear from him again. I don't think you could find in Devery Henderson's career a good 3 week stretch.
Okay.
Yeah. He's gonna go searching now.
Yeah.
Taylor Gabriel.
Shocked.
Taylor Gabriel, who we'll get to in a second, is funny, Scotty. I don't know if you saw it. The two plays they score on were the exact same play.
They threw the exact same play.
They couldn't stop it.
From almost the same down and distance.
Everything was the same.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stop it because they're stupid. But it was funny. Taylor Gabriel.
In their defense, though.
Okay.
He comes in. He only has one or two plays he's going to run.
Right.
And you think it's a defense. You see him come out there. There's a lot of talent on that Atlanta side. So the last guy you're paying attention to is Gabriel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's almost like you're playing basketball and like, okay, I'm not going to guard that guy.
In a way, yes.
But you know what? Don't get crazy here. I got this guy last night around 6:30 in the Roto Experts email advice box. He said to me, he said, can I trade Julio for Thomas Rawls and Taylor Gabriel?
Wow.
And I said, no way, you overreacted to one game. Yeah, but go, yeah, Julio's garbage. Look at Gabriel, and Rawls is relevant too, isn't he? You know, come on, let's not overreact to one game here.
For Oakland yesterday, going back to this Oakland game here, and Seth Roberts, 3 for 31 and a touchdown for the Architects, and four targets. I mean, Seth Roberts kind of does what he does every game, and I think this is what you, I don't want to say expect, but like this was a fair game to predict. Right,
you can see that. I mean, with the Carolina having a leaky secondary, the Raiders being home, probably saw a more up and down flow. At least that's what the odds said coming into this game. That this would look like a Seth Roberts game. Now, I was off Cooper this game.
You were off Cooper. Why?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I
was very much on him.
Yeah, everybody was. Yeah. I know Crabtree came up with a nice performance also. Crabtree's been solid. Even though he was banged up, he came in there and put up nice numbers. Yeah.
It wasn't a great game. It was an overtime, though.
Exactly. But I think the Raiders offense is rolling right now. All these dudes are safe. Now, the running game still has its issues, but I don't see a situation where you can't really start Latavius Murray because of his touchdown upside.
Yeah, Latavius Murray has kind of taken back this job since he's come back. 19 carries yesterday, 45 yards, a touchdown on the ground, 3 for 43 in the air. DeAndre Washington did nothing in this game. I don't know if he played, to be honest with you. Jalen Richard was a true backup. He had 7 carries, 23 yards. So Latavius Murray, once again, the leader in this backfield for Oakland. You have him, you're starting him.
What about Amari Cooper?
Just said that.
No, I'm asking a question here.
Okay.
135 receiving yards in the last three games, 56, 57, 22.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good, obviously. Yeah. And again, and Corey, you said you were off him. I was very much on him. We were all on him. What made you be off of him?
I just kind of felt I think he might be playing hurt.
You think Amari Cooper's playing hurt?
Yeah.
All right.
I think Amari Cooper's playing hurt.
That happened last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Crabtree explodes in the end of the game. At the very end of the game, gets a 50-yard catch, makes his day
That was a big catch.
A lot better. Uh-huh. Yeah, my monster catch, absolutely. On the other side, I think.
On the other side, Ted Ginn.
Teddy Ginn.
It was a perfect game for Ted Ginn.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mentioned that. I said the Raiders have let up long plays. I said, you know what? I wouldn't have the balls to play him, but Ted Ginn's a good play today, I said on the morning show. And it came through, but it's one of those things. You can't take that risk. I mean, how do you put him out there? It's like it's the same
Taylor Gabriel.
That's why when I was watching that game yesterday and I saw that kind of completion, I said, this is why the Raiders are going to have a good regular season, but a team that gives up those kind of plays, it's going
to
be tough to win in the playoffs. You can't let up big plays like
you
that.
You can't slug it out with the Patriots. You can't.
No.
Because you try to go in there and slug it out with the Patriots, they're going to put 50 on you.
I don't know if you'd be able to do this, to be honest with you, if you're Oakland against Kansas City and Denver either.
Nah.
I don't think
Alex Smith is going to throw a bomb like that.
No.
Unless it's out of bounds.
Simeon, maybe. To your point, it's like I could see Flacco or Roethlisberger lighten them up.
Sure.
You know?
It's a very good point. Also, Baltimore is a defense to Joe Flacco's the arm, and they kind of suck their offense. But
they already beat Baltimore this year, though.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. Kelvin Benjamin, 2 for 53 here, Tony. He had one really long catch, and that was it.
Sideline explosion.
There's a problem there. He didn't like being pulled off the field. I don't know what's going on there. If he's fallen out of favor or what. They took him off in a couple key plays, and then he made the big play later in the game. So there was some craziness. But you know what's crazy is that people in the NFL don't know the rules. Devin Funchess last night was arguing about a holding call,
right?
And he was telling to the ref to look at the scoreboard. And he basically tackled the guy, and I'm like, why would he be telling the ref to look at the replay?
Yeah.
And it's the most obvious holding call in the world. And I want to question the intelligence of some of these NFL players. Greg, do you think, what do you think some of these guys, most of them went to college. How was the SATs? How did they get in?
I would say completely legally, Tony. Completely by the book.
Fitzpatrick?
Completely by the book. Right, exactly. Jonathan Stewart's guy had a good game.
Right quick on Benjamin. Like Tony said, falling out of favor. After that play against Kansas City, with their season kind of on the line, and that big dude letting somebody take the football from him like that, I wouldn't trust him around. I wouldn't really want him in my locker room. You know what I'm saying?
He's not going in your locker room.
You're down on Kelvin Benjamin.
I wouldn't trust him. Yeah, and I think they may be feeling the same way about him too.
It was weak by that. Marcus Peters still there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still,
you know what? Cam Newton is not the same quarterback.
No.
Do you think all these hits added up?
on this guy.
Hey, speaking of the hits, he got it over the passer yesterday. Yeah, he got one.
He did. He did. But we're talking about a big dude that's taking a lot of hits over his career. Do you think it's really impacted his play at quarterback?
Hasn't seen like it, no. Right? Like from what you watch. I'm not like seeing
him. He's not playing well.
Oh, he's not.
No, he's not at all. This would be his second season that he doesn't finish since he's been in the NFL. He hasn't finished in the top five.
He was clutch last year. He's just not this year.
It's not going his way. A lot of the plays and things that happened for him this year, not really going in his direction.
Everything broke right for him in the Panthers last year. Well, the Panthers were a lot better on defense last year, but he made a lot of clutch throws. The defense set him up in good field position, et cetera. You know, now he's in positions where he's got to play from behind. You know, he's got to force things. You know, you didn't notice the completion percentage as much last year. I know Tony talked about it because he was clutch. He made the right plays at the right time. Just not happening this year.
Did something happen? Is there something on the tape that people saw the Denver Broncos do that was like, this is how you beat this team?
Possible.
I think, though, they were very balanced last year. When you have a good defense like that, it sets you up for a lot of success. You can play from ahead. You can play with better field position. He doesn't have those advantages this year.
But also, there's some merit to what you're saying.
Yeah, whoever mentioned the forced thing, that's really, when I think about it, though, it seems like they are trying to force every play out there. Like, he tries to get the ball to Greg Olsen no matter what. There could be three guys covering him. There are times when, you know, they're going to run the ball with Jonathan Stewart. He might have 12 carries for 14 yards, and they give it to him three more times. Like, it's crazy.
I compare it to, like, Brett Favre. When Brett Favre was in his prime, he was winning Super Bowls. He had a great crew around him. The defense was solid, and he had a great receiving crew. Then things started to fall apart around him. Like, he lost receivers. The defense wasn't playing as bad, so he became a gunslinger. He started throwing a lot more interceptions.
But Cam didn't have no crew around him last year. Yeah, and he took
the defense was better last year, though. The team overall was better last year. He was in more advantageous positions where he didn't have to press and force things.
See, you know what? I don't know about this, guys. About what you were saying, Tony. I mean, yesterday was a good day for Jonathan Stewart. 17 for 96 and 2. I mean, that's a good day.
That's an excellent
game.
No,
yesterday he looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but last year this team isn't giving up this many points, though. They're not in a 30-something slugfest.
I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's disagreeing with your point here, Scotty. Yesterday, Ted Ginn led this team in targets with 10, which is not a recipe for success. Greg Olsen had 5 targets, 4 for 45. He had a major drop on third down at the end of the game. You know, this team, for whatever reason, the defense and the offense. I mean,
you give credit where credit is due, though. It's kind of like the end of the Super Bowl with the Seahawks and the Patriots. You give credit to Malcolm Butler.
Sure.
Yesterday, you give credit to Khalil Mack for playing a hell of a game.
Absolutely.
A hell of a game. He had 2 big plays by Khalil Mack. Say what you want about the Raiders' defense. They're playing better recently. They're still giving up yards, but they're making big plays. A winning team, Khalil Mack makes a play like that at the end of the game. That's the difference between a win and a loss. That's what a winning team does.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue talking here about the AFC West, including last night's Chiefs and Broncos game. We'll take a look at the playoff picture as well. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So last night in the AFC West, Kansas City defeated Denver. We'll talk about that coming up here. But remember, at 11 a.m. Eastern time this morning, you can talk to the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley, with his weekly chat over at rotoexperts.com inside the exclusive Edge package. It's available now. We're pushing here for the playoffs. Enter free radio when you check out, and you can talk to Jake at 11 a.m. Eastern time this morning.
And also, don't forget the comprehensive waiver wire breakdown tonight with Mike Florio as well.
Oh, Mike Florio's going to get that up today. He's sick, though. My floor's not here. He's sick. Is he going to be able to write his column?
I haven't gotten anything for the won't. Okay. He could probably still lay in bed and type.
All right. Just making sure. My floor out sick today, not producing the program.
What if he's all doped up, though?
Probably makes for a better column. <There
you go>. Pick up Jameis Winston.
The Chiefs defeated the Broncos last night 30-27 in overtime, an overtime that went until the last second. Tony, I'm going to start with you. What did you think of the decision for Brandon McManus to attempt a 62-yarder with a minute to go?
You know, it's crazy is that I think more and more times that people should attempt these because you look at these, like Justin Tucker hit a 57-yard field goal that would have been good for 10 more yards.
Correct.
But now you realize when you miss what happens, right? You get the ball, and you give the other team good field position. So I can understand from the coaches being safe there. But I think a lot more would get hit than don't get hit if we took some of these shots here. And I think the field goal record would be something different than Matt Prater's record that we currently have now.
Justin Tucker, though, is the best kicker in the NFL. Brandon McManus is not.
I mean, he's got the altitude advantage.
He does. He does. That one wasn't close.
No, it wasn't.
what number kicker is he? Since you're big on kicker rankings, what number is he?
I'm not big on kicker rankings. I don't know anything about kicker rankings. Scotty's
well, you just
guy.
Said he's not the. You just said he wasn't the best. So
Brandon McManus is not the best. Justin Tucker is the best.
Well, is he the second best?
I don't think so. I don't know. But I don't.
Well,
think
you're
so.
you're making a comment.
Yes.
I always ask Scott to back up his facts.
Yes.
So I would like to know where Brandon McManus ranks as kicker.
Okay.
Brandon McManus is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Brandon McManus is 7. Number one is Justin Tucker.
Oh, so I was right. I was right about that.
Justin Tucker's
now,
number one.
There you go.
Now, my second question, would you take a shot at a 57-yard field goal with any kicker besides Justin Tucker?
57 is a lot different than 62. That 5 yards is a big deal, I think.
I think you might be right. But 62, all right. We'll go with 62.
Okay.
Would you take a shot with any other kicker?
I would. Yeah, I would take a shot. I would take a shot with Dan Bailey. I would take a shot with...
Dan Bailey never misses.
He doesn't. He's automatic. I would take a shot with Gostkowski, even though he's been struggling this year.
Adam Vinatieri.
He can't hit extra points.
I know he can. I think a shot with Vinatieri.
He's not a long-range guy. He's not a long-range guy, though.
No,
right?
He's Vinatieri? Not. They probably had that other kicker that would do it. You're right. So, I get it, right? You're trying to win the game. And, like, I give credit to Kubiak for going out and trying to win the game than just playing for a tie, because that's like...
Well, I got one more question
for
everybody. Yes, sir. Do you have a better chance at a 62-yard... At a 52-yard touchdown pass or a 62-yard field goal?
Well, you don't need a 52-yard touchdown pass there. You just need a first down.
Well, you don't need one, right?
You need
but
a first
at
down.
The end of the game, when these people set up for these long field goals,
yeah,
and they miss, mm-hmm. Do you have what are the odds? Can someone do? Can we have some research here? Do we have any?
Yeah,
research
a Hail Mary versus the 62-yard field goal.
I'll take the 62-yard field goal.
I agree with that.
I do too.
But last night, they didn't need that. Last night, they needed 10 yards.
But you got me on a whole kicker thing.
I'm sorry. I just asked
you. I think you have to play for the win.
I get it. Yeah. I didn't necessarily disagree with the call because you play for the win. I understand that. And, again, you're facing Alex Smith on the other side.
Exactly.
You have one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Alex Smith
you got to hold him. You got to hold him for a couple of times. And it almost worked, right? Chandler Catanzaro. But Cairo Santos clanks one off the upright, but it happens to go through rather than
they weren't even
front.
Sure.
No, they had no idea.
They hesitated celebrating.
No one had any idea last night. The Chiefs do walk out of Denver with a win, a big victory for them. And right now, I know nobody cares, but if you look at the AFC playoff picture, let me tell you this. Number one is New England. Number one technically is New England, according to this.
They are.
So now they're back because of strike of scheduling?
Because best conference record.
Okay, it'd be the Jets yesterday. And Oakland beat Carolina. Okay. Yeah. So New England's 9-2. Oakland's 9-2. They're the top two teams. Baltimore and Houston are next, 6-5, 6-5. I don't know if anyone would say they're unbeatable. At number five is Kansas City.
San Diego would say they're not Houston,
right.
Not unbeatable.
Number five is Kansas City. Number six is Miami. Let me tell you the teams that are out of the playoffs right now. Denver at 7-4. The Steelers at 6-5. Rex and the Bills at 6-5. Tennessee, who we all like, at 6-6. The Colts, who none of us like, are at 5-6. San Diego, who's like... Yeah. Really should be better because they got screwed by injuries. Sit here at 5-6. These teams out of the playoffs are a lot better than these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, and so I think it's still going to be some shakeup on the AFC side when you look at the playoff teams. The Miami team, though, amazingly, despite Ryan Tannehill being the quarterback, they're playing pretty good football right now.
They overcame a lot yesterday. They were missing three offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They could not even run the ball against San Francisco yesterday.
And everybody can run the ball against San Francisco. Yeah. Last night, just continuing.
They found a way to win.
Yeah, they did. Kind of wrapping up last night, though, for a moment. Emmanuel Sanders had a big, big day against me, as I said to you, Corey.
Yeah, that sucks when that happens. Sorry about that, Craig.
It's not your fault.
Especially late at night like that, because you're thinking.
Feeling great.
You're feeling you're going to escape. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I have a bunch of players tonight, and I kind of screwed up with this whole Quincy Enunwa thing.
I put him in lineup yesterday morning.
I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
I left Dorial Green Beckham.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Beckham
hasn't played yet, to be fair.
He hasn't played
That's
yet.
True.
It's not going to go well, though.
You don't know that.
Not as good as Quincy Nunua.
You don't know that.
I don't. Emmanuel Sanders had 7 for 162 with a touchdown. He looked good. Benny Fowler had a big catch. Demaryius, 5 for 60 last night. Your boy A.J. Derby, 4 for 43.
Hey, he had 8 PPR points.
How about that?
How about that? Amazing. Big catch in overtime.
Yeah,
when he was catching balls, I was laughing.
Same. Every time. Every time he caught a ball, I laughed. I did. I really did. Devontae Booker dominated the carries here. 24 carries, 79 yards.
Is Capri Bibbs still a thing?
9 carries, 22 yards for Capri Bibbs. It seemed like he was out there a bunch, though.
He's a handcuff.
I got to see the snap cast, but yes, he's a handcuff.
He got hurt.
Bibbs got hurt. Yeah, he came back in the game, though, didn't he?
What?
He was back in the game.
I think he got hurt and came back, yeah.
Okay. For Kansas City, Spencer Ware carried the ball 17 times for 64
yards.
When's
the last time Spencer Ware scored a touchdown?
It has been
week
a while.
Week five? Yeah, I think it's week five.
Spencer Ware has not looked good.
Yeah.
Seven yards is his long rush it last night.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, if you look at the season overall, I think he might be. Is he top 12 overall this season, Spencer Ware?
I like Spencer.
On the season?
I don't know. Yeah, you're usually my stat guy.
I'm
gonna
look it up.
We're all looking it up at the same time, everybody. Spencer Ware
is
definitely not. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
He's in the top 15.
He's
in top
16 here.
He's number 16?
Number 16 here.
He's number 16.
Half point.
Number 16 in the PPR. He's a running back, too.
Week 6 was the last time he scored a rushing touchdown.
Crazy. Isaiah Crowell.
Week 7 was
Latavius
the last
Murray,
time he caught a rushing or caught a receiving touchdown.
Struggling right now, Spencer Ware.
But is he really?
Is it
the fact that he's playing every game make him worth going in your lineup every week?
Well, I'll tell you this. Next couple games, pretty good. At Atlanta, that's a good spot for him.
It seems like
he has not scored more than 11 PPR points since week 7.
That's bad. That's definitely bad. It's definitely
bad. Two single-digit games in that span.
Yeah, it's not good.
He started. Do you know what this guy
kind of is bad? He's struggling.
He is struggling.
You didn't believe me?
He only has.
He was basically sharing time with Wes last night.
No, I think they've always done that.
He hasn't been the same guy since he came back.
Since the concussion.
Yeah,
he hasn't been. You're right.
But he's still startable every week, though.
I think you have to against
as a flex.
Oh, he's. No,
he's an RB2.
He's an RB2.
He's an RB2.
He's absolutely an RB2. Yeah. So, by the way, Kansas City, I believe this.
He's absolutely an RB2.
Absolutely an RB2.
10 points every week.
Scott, this is a standard running back.
Scott, look at the running backs.
Come on.
Scott, he averages 14 points per game, right? 14 points per game right now in a whole point PPR leagues, okay? So if you look at that, there's only 19 running backs that are better than that, and some of those guys aren't even playing anymore.
If you bump him down to 11 points per game, though, where does that put him?
Why would I do that?
Because that's what he's averaged over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
On October 30th, he's concussed, so you can't count that game.
And Coach Tony just said he hasn't been the same since then, so that's why I'm asking.
Oh, that would put him at 26th.
Okay, so just outside the RB2 cusp.
Just outside the RB2 cusp.
That's what I'm saying.
Next couple games, though. In Atlanta, then home against Oakland. So... two games.
Things are looking up, you know.
Things are looking up. I still believe it's Spencer Ware, I want to say. I believe in him. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon.
He's benchable, but I'm not.
Yeah,
expectations are not what they used to be.
He's not benchable. You don't feel like he's going to give you that 20 to 25 point Shady McCoy game.
I agree. I want to take a break here. I do want to come back to this Chiefs thing, though, because Travis Kelce, as you said, going to the fourth quarter, nothing. You were pissed off. And then he comes back, has a great fourth quarter and overtime. And Tyreek Hill has done it again. I want to talk about his value going forward when we come back. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This Tyreek Hill character.
Oh, my God.
He scored a rushing touchdown yesterday. He scored a return touchdown yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And caught the game-tying, or before the two-point conversion, but the touchdown-tying, we'll call it, pass yesterday with 1 second remaining on the clock yesterday.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill, man, 9 for 52 and a touchdown, 10 targets, plus the rushing touchdown, plus the return touchdown. Can you start Tyreek Hill every week?
As long as Jeremy Maclin is not out. I mean, I just hate being attached to Alex Smith in this offense. But it seems like he's got the ira of Smith. You know what I'm saying? He's a playmaking kid, good talent. I just don't like that type of
domestic violence background.
Oh, for real? Yeah. I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, okay. You know, he's got to do a better job than that.
Yeah.
But he's a as long as Jeremy Maclin's not as long as Maclin is not there, I think you have to give him serious consideration.
But
the
Tony,
first player in 51 years since Gale Sayers did it to return a kick, rush, and catch a touchdown pass in a game.
As a rookie. That's the thing with Gale Sayers. Tony, despite Tyreek Hill having 9 for 52 yesterday, I need to see his snaps because he wasn't even out there on that two-point conversion. Is he playing every snap here?
No, he's not. And I'll tell you, he's tricky to play. He reminds me a lot of Raheem Ishmael when he was at Notre Dame, actually.
Rocket.
The Rocket Ishmael. He basically lines up in the backfield once in a while, line up at wide receiver, return a couple kicks. Like, this is like a college thing that's going on here. I don't know what to make of it. And Corey's exactly right. If Jerry Maclin comes back, you can't play this guy.
But you sure was a rookie? Yes, ESPN Stats and Info says just any player.
Yeah, yes. The NBC said it last night.
Yeah, I'm looking at ESPN Stats and Info. It says Tyreek Hill, first player with a rushing TD, receiving TD, kick return in a single game since Gale Sayers.
Well, I'm just telling you what. I'm just telling
yeah,
you.
I'm telling you what ESPN Stats.
Well,
info
why are we says. Arguing about this? So, Scotty, do you feel comfortable with if Jeremy Maclin's out, despite the snaps, putting Tyreek Hill in your lineup?
Yes, he's their playmaker in the passing game.
Okay,
the Chiefs seem like they've had one playmaker in the passing game. It's going to be interesting to see what the distribution is like if and when Maclin is coming back.
If and when is the key right there.
Ooh, this is not a good domestic violence either.
No, it's a bad one.
Yeah.
When is there a good one?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean it like that. But the young lady was pregnant. And then, you know, so.
Travis Kelce, 8 for 101 last night, Corey.
Yeah, you gotta play him. You can't not play him because it's not pretty, but the targets are there. I wish he would catch more footballs. But, Travis Kelce continues to get it done. Obviously, as the flow of the game became, okay, we got to throw the football to go ahead and get this win, Travis Kelce became the main target, and you saw his numbers go up. I mean, I don't like the way this team is so conservative, and so is Alex Smith. I think the game script last night dictated to Travis Kelce being able to put up some nice numbers going into the fourth quarter into overtime.
They have always seemed to make one receiver relevant. Mm-hmm. It used to be Dwayne Bowe, then it was Jeremy Maclin, and now it's Tyreek Hill because Jeremy Maclin is out. Always one receiver has been relevant.
He's getting the targets, though. He's got 24 in the last two games, you know what I mean? 30 since Max in the games that Maclin hasn't played, you know. So he's getting the looks. He said the last two games each have gone over 100 yards. It's just not pretty. You worry about it every time.
Could you not argue right now that they have two fantasy relevant receivers with Travis Kelce as well, though?
Well, I'm talking about wide receivers.
Okay, fair enough. From an NFL perspective yesterday, Scotty, the return of Justin Houston in the last 2 weeks has been monstrous for this team.
Yes.
Getting him back, I know he was certainly stopped or limited in the second half, but the first half, I mean, he was the old Justin Houston here.
Yeah, and that's big for the Chiefs, yeah, down the stretch, certainly.
Yeah.
Fantasy defense-wise, this team is always great for turnovers. You know, we saw graphics last night and what they rank in, you know, in plus-minus differential and everything. You know, this team is always good because people focus too much on just, like, points allowed. You know, this team gets turnovers.
And that's something that I've actually been taught here this year, Scotty, in that I should not be focusing on the points allowed and try to find these defenses that create turnovers, that play the Blake Bortles every week, that even though they may allow some points, turnovers are pretty good.
Stream of defense, not unlike they're going to keep the points down. Stream of defense based on the fact that it's fighting Bortles or Osweiler.
All right, it's funny. You mentioned Dwayne Bowe a second ago. Whatever happened to Dwayne Bowe? I know he flamed out
went
real
to Cleveland
quick.
And then he was done.
That's great.
I wouldn't say he flamed out real quick. When Dwayne Bowe
32 years old.
It was progressive decline with him.
Well, when he was good, he was
that's
good.
That's why he said not flamed out.
I don't know. I said it wasn't sudden.
It was progressive with the
climb. I don't agree. I thought it was pretty sudden. He had 60 receiving. He had 60 catches for 754, and the next year he had 5 catches. And that was it. That's it. That's flaming out real quick.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get hour number two, and we'll get to the 49ers, the Dolphins, the Cardinals, and the Falcons, and every other Week 12 game that you watched yesterday. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. We roll on after this.